What's up, everybody? This is Press X to Start Podcast, the multi-award-winning Press X to Start Podcast. We here at Press X seek to transform the video game media landscape through an underserved and protected point of view, and bring restorative justice for the underrepresented programmers, developers, and consumers. I'm your host, your heavyweight champion from Wishnigga, California, a.k.a. the janitor because we watch niggas, a.k.a. Great Value Daniel Kaluuya.
Ooh, are you on sale?
I'm from the porn edition of Get Out.
Get in.
Marcus Ellis.
Why do you want my body? It's the penis, boy. I want your penis.
I might have seen that movie.
I want your penis.
I am Sean M.F. Ross.
What did M.F. stand for? Oh, Millie Vanilli.
Oh, throwback.
You must be this old to understand that joke.
A.K.A.
Girl, you know it's. Girl, you know it's.
Which one of y'all?
They were just on just in the wrong decade. That's all.
Millie Vanilli would have caught on like wildfire in the 2000s.
A.K.A. in honor of Mr. Sexy Bad Choices, who is not with us today. Did you know... Gary Gygax's wife was convinced that he was having an affair, so she followed him to a dimly lit basement and bust into the room, only to find him and his friends hunched over hand-drawn maps. Gary would go on to invent the art role-playing game Dungeons & Dragons.
And he lived to see another day.
She busted in the room expecting to see some bussing, but there was no bussing at all. Just tossing dice.
No bussing challenge back then.
Tossing dice and killing mice.
Bless his heart.
Mm-mm. Also, in case you were wondering, DJ is not with us, not because, you know, he's dead, but because he has a child.
He reproduced.
Yeah.
Press X to reproduce.
Press X to baby.
Yes, just let you know, it is contagious, so watch out, y'all.
As Jordan has said before, we don't die, we multiply.
Mm. No, I said that if we can't get any new... followers, we'll just make him ourselves.
Exactly. I'm the one that said you can't die, multiply. Are you?
My bad. You know all y'all look alike, man. Calm down.
You know the racism here. I
mean, look
swear.
At you. You got hair, glasses, a nose. You know,
you city niggas.
You fit the description.
Damn. Not all black men from Baltimore are alike. Just letting you know.
Fair enough.
Have you seen their club attire? You know what? I'm a backpack.
You know, I don't go to those nightclubs. I am a child of God.
Oh, okay.
Well, child of God, introduce yourself.
Well, I am, as declared in an open session at the District Court of Maryland, sitting in the great city of Baltimore, I am the exuberant, yet tired, barrister of Baltimore.
Argue your case, King.
Brought to you by Dick Wolf.
And it's your boy Jordan, aka JXBot, aka Jordan the Dragon of the Dojima Clan.
He's Cisco.
The axe of the Oni Alliance and stunt double of DJ.
Thank you so much.
Based on how Marcus views us.
Tall lives matter.
Yeah.
They really do.
And now that we've all been introduced, we're going to go into what we've been playing, but it's going to be a little different. Doug, what have you been playing?
I was playing Overwatch and Dead by Daylight with folks, but that's not really what I'm here to talk about today. I'm here to bring some edumacation to y'all.
He reading books!
Books!
Call Massa.
Niggas, you educating yourself?
Man, they taught me to read, man. They weren't supposed to do that.
Boy, who taught you how to read?
So, I put on my reading glasses, and I've been reading Press Reset, Ruin and Recovery in the Video Game Industry by Jason Schreier. He's a very well-known writer, I guess most recently with Kotaku. Mm-hmm. And I've gone through the first chapter, and pretty much... He's talking about how this is this cycle of how in video games, a lot of work with pre-development, you create this game, you get to production, you do a bunch of crunch, you release the game, and then people say, wow, that is amazing, do that again, but can you do it with, you know, a slightly less money, and also we need it in 2 years. And you have this cycle of burnout where you may have one great game and then the next game flops. Yeah. Or you have this incredible turnover so that in this industry, nobody really believes they have a long time to be there. Like, very few people have a long career in gaming. Most people, it's almost like on a contract basis. But
for a good time, not a long time.
Unless you're one of the superstar directors or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, unless you can fail upwards. And so it's been very interesting. Like, the first chapter talk about the guy who helped develop Epic Mickey and how...
I was reading about that, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because he went from making, like, Deus Ex to Epic Mickey because he thought being Disney, this is a stable corporation, not known for laying people off, but by the time they finished production on Epic Mickey, the folks in the business side of Disney change, and they were thinking back in 2010, you know what? The future is going to be in mobile gaming or social games. It's not going to be on consoles. So we don't want to invest in consoles. We want to invest in some type of multiplayer mobile game. And with that change, they're like, yeah, we want a sequel to Epic Mickey, but we want to make it not just for the Wii, but for all platforms. And oh yeah, let's cut the budget. But you don't need all these people here. So it took the things that made the first game so successful, and we're like, let's do it cheaper and faster. And then they got a crap product. And then they wonder why.
What's crazy is that Epic Mickey sold well, though. It sold over a million copies. It's just like, I think with Square Enix, when... I think Lara Croft didn't sell over like 2 or 3 million. Over a million sales is still good for any video game, but they expected. Right. Yeah. I mean, how many people are trying to play a Mickey game where you can't do any like wild, violent stuff? You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, like that, I think Epic Mickey was in the mid 2000s where things were kind of edgy, I think. And
people want to Shadow the Hedgehog with Mickey Mouse.
Yeah, pretty much.
It was pretty bold, but they made two of them, right?
The sequel is the one that flopped, and one of the developers, he has a great quote where he says, "Name me a great video game that came in under budget on time." Never happens, because video games take time. You know, it's as another person said, it's like filming a movie while also building the camera.
Yeah.
And you have this is a big division between the money side, the business side, your CEOs.
I don't understand why you can't just
versus developers who are trying to have the artistic creativity.
Yeah.
And they have opposing interests, and yet they're supposed to work together to make something. So it is,
you would think.
It is such a well written book. It's not that long. I mean, still it's under 300 pages. But it's just fascinating to see how these companies, these big developers or big distributors, really keep making the same mistake. Video game takes foresight. Like, you're developing something today that may not come out 3, 4, 5 years in the future, sometimes 7 years in the future.
And it might not be the wave by the time it comes out.
And yet you have folks who are trying to make business decisions about what's hot now, thinking what's hot now will also be hot in 7 years, and that may not be the case. It is fascinating, and all I see is, like, looking at how the video game industry treats its employees. One, they need unions.
Yep.
I think that is, as a person who is a member of a union, you know, there's no protection there. They treat people disposable, and it's now there's almost a prize of, like, well, you know, you work a great game, then we lay you off, and then maybe we hire you again for another project. Yay! I'm like...
It goes in your resume. They pay you not in just benefits. Mm-hmm. They pay you in exposure.
Ugh.
Yeah, but that's what they tell to a lot of people. Like, that's why people don't want to pay interns. It's for experience. When I'm like, no, that's really...
That's how they pay the Avengers.
It's almost classes. Like, you should be wealthy enough to be able to take job for job and work for cheap. I'm like, I don't know how a person can raise a family like this. And it's incredibly stressful. Like, reading this book is like, man, I don't know why would a person go into the video game industry with such instability. But hey.
We tell kids to follow their passions.
You know, we'll see. So I'm in the second chapter. We're just looking at the rise and fall of the BioShock series. So the folks who made the original BioShock, who didn't quite make BioShock 2, they were thinking about, we're going to do BioShock Infinite. And yeah, I'm looking forward to see that story. And I'm really, really hoping Anthem is in here, because I know Jason wrote the big article in Kotaku about how Anthem was...
Read that game for filth.
I mean, when I was burrowed in cases earlier this winter, I missed the news that the developers pretty much said, yeah, we're pulling the plug on Anthem. So I'm like, wow, in the span of about 2 years?
2 years.
It went from like all this hype to like, nah, we're pulling the plug on life support.
The hype died that summer after mm-hmm. it came out this spring based on the quality of it, yeah. unfortunately.
So yeah, I would say, guys, if you want to also read, I would recommend this book. So far, so good. I can't press X on it. I guess I will flip a page on it.
Mm-hmm. I look forward to our next entry in Press X to Book Club. But what you been playing, Jordan?
I have been playing, I mean, Fallout on PC, I guess. I'm still messing around with various PC titles. But yeah, I'm just playing Fallout 4. To ready myself for future Bethesda content, which I'm more confident that is going to focus on that first-person RPG experience. And just trying to get the best out of my computer, you know, trying to put it to work. I mean, this is beyond spreadsheets and R and Progress SQL and all these other data tools I use. Like, this is a gaming PC, so I want to make sure I keep it that way. Also, I just finished Yakuza. Yakuza 0
hey.
Is behind me now.
What happened to your burlesque club?
It's a cabaret.
Oh, cabaret. So
it's a very classy place, number one. Led by Majima. Uh-huh. Majima and Kiryu are my spirit animals. It's who I aspire to be. I aspire to be helpful and kind and loving and super ripped with amazing tattoos that will... help out a child and a dominatrix in the same evening. That is who they are. They are respectful gentlemen.
Jordan, when you want to get your tattoo, let me know. I can.
You know a guy?
I'm gonna be part of that experience.
I do plan on having the whole story of Japan on my back sooner or later. But yeah, like...
Is that cultural appropriation?
To what Doug was alluding to...
He can't culturally appropriate. He's black. He's immune.
Yakuza has these mini games within it that are pretty interesting. Like, both of them are focused on developing income over the course of the game so you can max out your abilities and buy stuff and all this. But Kiryu's is focused mainly on real estate. Like, you're buying properties, and if someone tries to run in on your territory, you go in there and kick their ass. Your goal is to buy up all the properties, max them out, and then you go against the main property boss. Be it like of that district, the entertainment district, you know, the shopping district. Each one of them have like these, you know, dungeon like bosses you have to fight in a battle. And
this is real estate development in Baltimore City, by the way. But thank you.
Yeah, no, it's borrowed from real life. It's borrowed from real life.
It's like an HGTV show, but with violence.
You basically get a page that there's hooligans behind your property, and you must rush there as fast as possible to punch them to a pulp so you can retain control of that property. But the most fascinating, my favorite minigame involves Majima, to which he is a master of ceremonies at a cabaret. And your goal is to go around town, quote unquote, collecting women to be your platinum girls. Now, be in mind, this game...
That's my kind of Pokemon.
This game is clearly...
You're a talent agent.
Yeah.
This game is clearly tongue-in-cheek about this 1980s Japanese culture. So you're... I mean, like, of course, like, there are some, you know, problematic patriotic undertones. But at the same time, the minigame goes along as you are training these women in terms of being conversationalists, which is what cabarets were back in, like, well, and still are in Japan, to which women will sit next to you, serve you food, and they like, seem like it's like the girlfriend experience, mm-hmm. but less taboo compared to our country.
It's a hostess culture.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like a modern take on being a geisha. Like, you're accompanying people.
Right. And, like, mm-hmm. it's funny because, like, they all have attributes like cuteness, sexiness, and, you know, funniness and stuff like that. So you have to, like, max them out. They have mm-hmm. HP going each night. So if they have bad conversations, their health percentage will go down. You have to, like
an introvert.
Yeah, well, some of them are introverted, but, you know, have high stats. So you have to make sure you give them as much attention. You basically customize their clothes and stuff. It is a very bizarre mini game that even though I beat the game, I'm going to probably go back and see if I can, like, max out my cabaret and beat all the other cabarets in the city.
Jordan, so, you know there's some empty club spaces on the block that could use a entrepreneur like yourself who knows how to collect talent.
Unfortunately, Yakuza just isn't real life. Like, I can't hold a conversation and build up their meter, you know, to, like, make them stronger conversationalists.
But have you tried?
You know what? I mean, I'm not Majima. Like, I'm not, like, this studded, awesome dude.
Not with that attitude.
You can do... Exactly. I believe in you, Jordan. I really do.
I don't have an eye patch. I'm not... I can't kill with a stare. I can't do that.
No. Jordan has to walk up into a building, slam his resume on the table, and say, I beat Yakuza 0. I can work.
But that's not even fun.
Slamming it on the table, is he?
Yes.
Marcus.
Well, you know, I've got the usual Overwatch, but the other thing I've been playing is It Takes Two. I didn't get the chance to play this past week, but I played last week, and obviously, if you're listening to this episode, you know that we didn't have an episode last week, so I will just talk about
that's my
what
fault.
I did. It's okay. It's okay. Technical things happen.
Thank you.
But... So the last time I played It Takes Two with Avery, we got to chapter 4, and, you know, it's still a really fascinating game. I still hate the love guru book thing, and I'm still hoping that it's the final boss so that I can kill it. and one of the things that really impresses me, which I said the last time I talked about this, is just the scope of the game. I know that it's available on PS4 and PS5, but just the way that it plays with scope and utilizes its art direction feels very next gen. The fact that this isn't a full price game.
Yeah.
They make the absolute most of their assets. Mm-hmm. Like, I know we've had conversations before about, like, what makes a game AAA and what makes a game AA. But this game does not feel like a
lesser than game,
quote, yeah, a lesser than game, because it's very, very well put together, and the story's dark, where we are in the story. The main thing that they're trying to make happen is because they believe that they got into this predicament through their daughter's tears, so they're trying to make their daughter cry on them, yeah, so they can go back to being normal. And I'm like,
how do we make her cry?
You're the worst parents.
But I mean, you just see the girl. I can worst. See why they wouldn't want to pay attention to her. Look how she's...
That is not...
What is wrong with
Marcus,
Rose?
Marcus, really, come on now. She's annoying.
Come
she's
on,
annoying.
Man.
She's annoying.
She hasn't even done anything. No, when she walked up to her parents and they were all knocked out because they're out of their bodies, and she's just trying to talk to them and she thinks they're ignoring them, I was like, oh, this is horrible.
Marcus, are you playing this on the PS5 or the PS4?
PS5. Avery and I are playing both on PS5.
And you're not doing couch co-op. You both are playing same game, just on different consoles.
Mm-hmm.
It does have couch co-op, though.
Yeah, it does.
So okay. you and Enrique should try it.
So I need to know, though, but would this be a game that would lead me to divorce him?
No.
I mean, I don't know y'all tolerance, you know. Y'all might already be on thin ice.
It's the story might hit a little too close to home.
Well, look, with the Overcooked, that's a game that will make
Overcooked
you be like...
Overcooked is a digital monopoly, my guy.
Yeah.
Ooh.
This is not on Overcooked
shop,
levels.
Bitch, it's, shop, I don't want y'all no more.
It's definitely... it's a game that does require you to work together, but it's not a game, unless y'all really just don't have a good temperament, that will divide you.
Okay.
Play the demo.
Yeah. Definitely check out the demo and then kind of see how you both feel about it. If you like it, then it's only $40. So, you know, it's worth a purchase, I'd say.
Okay.
But yeah, that's what I've been playing. So, Sean...
Yeah. All right. So, first off, I played Zombie Army 4 with one of our listeners, Casey.
Hey, Casey.
Shout out to Casey.
We wrecked a couple zombies here and there. And some randoms jumped in our game. I don't know, but they were like these dudes are serious, because I think one dude was like a level 76. Like, these niggas are just playing the game just to play it. I don't know. That's their thing.
What, you got carried, my guy?
Oh, no. Zombie Army is not that hard. Plus, we were playing it on easy. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you know, it's not a thing. It's not a very hard game. I tried Wreckfest, one of the free games this month. The very first level, you start out with some riding lawnmowers, and you're supposed to wreck the other players.
Yeah.
I was like, all right, this is interesting.
That sounds like fun to me.
But this is a very forgiving racing game. This isn't like where you need Forza or Gran Turismo levels of precision. This is some shit where you could take a hard corner into your opponent and keep it moving.
Oh, yeah. Those cars explode on contact in some situations.
Yeah, so it's okay so far. I've only played like the first two or three levels. And, you know.
Yeah, well, you'll notice, Sean, like, there's not too much track variety.
Mm-hmm.
But there is variation in cars.
Yeah, I mean, it's something if you just want to drive around and not have to be like super precise or super good at the game per se. I haven't even upgraded any of my cars. I just I unlocked a bunch of stuff, but I haven't even bothered with it.
Yeah, I'm very excited to see your first demolition derby. Like, those are pretty fun. Outside of the couch one.
Well, I used to play, and this is showing my age, sure, whatever. They used to have a game called, I think, Demolition Derby on the PlayStation 1.
Mm-hmm.
If you remember that. So, I mean, yeah, that's way back. So, I'm used to that type of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Admittedly, we made a Milli Vanilli reference earlier, so we already showed our age.
Of course, I'm playing Apex Legends. They just had an update where they released new map updates, a new weapon, a new mode, and a new legend. So the new mode is Arenas, where it's a slightly smaller map, and this basically runs like what the hell do you call it? Counter-Strike, where you buy your guns and buy any attachments and all that stuff before the match starts.
Yeah.
And it's a kind of like a best to three rounds type dealy bob. I'm doing pretty good with that. I feel like these matches are kind of like quicker when you want to jump in and out and don't feel like doing the battle royale and having to re-team up with a whole new person every time, you know. And the new legend they have is Valkyrie. She can actually fly, shoot off rockets. Her ultimate is redeploying and like shooting up into the air. She can bring her teammates.
So she's D.Va.
Yep.
I tell you, the Titanfall community lost their minds.
Yeah.
This is like one of the legends that had the closest ties to the original Titanfall
games. Yeah, their cinematics really draw you into the game. And they also added a new weapon called a Bocek bow that is already nerfed because it's too powerful.
Mm-hmm. Oh. The reflex bow, nice.
Yeah. And lastly, of course, I've been playing damn near nothing but Returnal. I've already rolled credits for the first part. It took me a while at first.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it took me a while to beat the first boss and then the second. And then I just steamrolled the rest of the game somehow. I don't know. I just had a good run. I think I stayed up until like 3 o'clock. Like, all right, I got to the, you know, I think they have a total of six areas that you play through. And off chance, well, late one night, I was like, I'm just playing. I'm just going to play till I die. And just ended up not dying. And this game is dark.
Another one.
Yeah, this game is super dark. I'm going to spoil something. I'm going to give you all a counter. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Skip the next 30 seconds. The lady, Celine. Either the planet isn't real. The alien planet that she's on isn't real. It's either in her head or it's some weird shit. But ultimately, it's a story about guilt. Because it looks like either her daughter or her sister died when they were driving and crashed off a bridge.
Mm.
And every time she dies on this planet, you come back, of course. That's the premise of the game.
Mm.
And then in the third level, you escape from the planet, live a long life, get buried and die, wake up back on the planet. So she lives 70 years, wakes up back on the fucking planet.
And the alien planet?
Yes!
It's like the most morbid Groundhog Day.
I was like, holy shit. And then there's another part where like her house is on the planet somehow. And there's one point where you ring the doorbell And the camera zooms out, and it's her, once again, daughter, sister, whatever, playing a PlayStation 5, controlling her on the screen. And then she goes downstairs to answer the door because she's in the house that you visit. The game is just really fucky.
Are we sure that this wasn't ghost directed by Hideo Kojima?
Yeah, this game is like super trippy, and there's still more to see because...
Are you enjoying it? The storytelling?
Yes, I'm playing nothing but this for the most part. I take short breaks here and there, you know, to play the normal stuff, Spelunky, Apex, but yeah, I'm playing the hell out of this.
Are any of you interested in playing the Mass Effect Legendary Edition?
Nope.
You're like, not my thing.
I'm not paying $70 to play that again.
Yeah, I'll play it once it's at like $30. I'm not paying $70 for it.
I'll play it once it gets released on PlayStation Plus.
That'll be a long time. It might be released on EA Play.
If I want to have sex with blue women, I'll wait till they start offering civilian rides with SpaceX.
I'm telling your wife.
I mean, yeah. She could probably get me a deal on it. I mean, she works for NASA. Shit.
A word?
Yeah.
Hey.
She.
But anyway.
I'll wait to get back with Liara in Mass Effect 4. I'm a wait.
Mm-hmm. By then, she already going to have a new space nigga, so, you know.
Well, I'll kill him. I'll go renegade and kill.
Uh-huh. But, just like you blacks. Violent.
How dare you. You're right, though. But that's what we've been playing. And before we go any further, we're just going to direct you to our YouTube channel, as we always do. You know, we don't have a lot of new content up there right now, but stuff will be coming up in the future. But if you've missed our Invincible Ramble / review, our Falcon Winter Soldier, or our Mortal Kombat review, it is up there to be watched. So please like and subscribe. And yeah, subscribe to us, nigga.
I'm going to do a 50 Shades of Grey review. So now go ahead.
Hey, fam. Have you been enjoying this episode so far? Would you like to make sure you keep getting the best laughs, latest news, and most fire takes? You definitely want the fire takes. Then we're gonna need your help. If you haven't been already, please subscribe to our show. And if you have, then tell three people about the podcast. It could be strangers, friends, loved ones, hated ones, like real hated ones. Every little bit helps. After you've done that, please follow us on Facebook and Instagram at PressX2Start. Twitter at PressX2S, and on YouTube at PressX2StartTV. If you've done all of that, well done. Platinum trophy achieved.
And we're back. And now it's time for the quick hits. Take it away, me. All right. So, number one, this is from Sony Entertainment Interactive. No, sorry. Sony Interactive Entertainment blog.
Same shit, bro. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Announcing PlayStation's new partnership with Discord. So, if you've been listening to us for a little bit, you know that we had a couple of weeks where we were speculating that Microsoft was going to partner up with Discord, and that fell through, and we were wondering, does that mean that Discord's going private? No, apparently PlayStation showed up. So Jim Ryan says, our goal is to bring the Discord and PlayStation experiences closer together on console and mobile starting early next year, allowing friends, groups, and communities to hang out, have fun, and communicate more easily while playing games together. This was a surprise.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of the details of this partnership, Sony is now a minor stakeholder within Discord to allow for a better partnership with the application. So Microsoft entered the same type of agreement a few years ago, but this one may be more involved than what had Microsoft. Like, I can link my Xbox profile with Discord currently, but this seems more involved. So, and also it's in line with Sony's interest in adding more PC PlayStation produced games. So having that, you know, communication stream between PC and PlayStation owners does make sense.
We'll see how it goes.
Indeed. Number two, this comes from Games Radar. Returnal devs hear the community about save options.
Help!
So, the Returnal devs, Housemark, have acknowledged the community's request for save options, but don't make any promises to add them in a future update. So, basically, Returnal is a roguelike game, and based off that virtue alone, the saves don't work in the same way that we've become accustomed to saves working, especially I think from PlayStation 4 onwards, mm-hmm. where basically you could just save at any point of the game and then pick up where you left off. Mm-hmm. That doesn't usually happen. And then the way that Returnal is built from a story perspective, it also would kind of fly in the face of what this is supposed to be. Sean, you can speak to it better than any of us because you play it.
This was a mistake not to include one. I understand that they had a vision for the game. And it could take you out of your rhythm if you were able to just save, because a lot of the game is about keeping your rhythm and momentum, like going through the run. But they are actually kind of long. You can sit there and play for 2 to 3 hours on one run. Mm-hmm. If you're decent at the game anyway.
Right.
Well, I'm going to say, I mean, you also have created another human being. Isn't there really called like a balance between having an immersive experience, but also being able to pause because, you know, there is life going on around you as a person?
Well, no, you can still pause it.
But like, weren't there some PlayStation owners that were like putting their console into rest mode to have like a suspended state within the application itself so they don't have to like restart like it?
Yeah, so that was their initial quote unquote save thing, where if you needed to take a break from the game, just put your console on the rest. And this is where the Xbox Series X quick resume would have come in handy. Mm-hmm. But you can't play another game until you die or at least finish your run.
Right.
Which is unfortunate. One option would be something like Binding of Isaac, where you can exit to the main menu and it will save that room for you, you know?
Okay.
So if you exit out the game, you'll pop back in that room, but you can't abuse it. You know, if you leave out, you'll go back in the room, but it won't actually, if you die, you're not able to return back to that quote unquote save point. It's a soft saving system.
Right. Yeah.
They are working on something allegedly, though, so we'll see where they go with this.
True, true.
Yeah.
Number 3. This is from comingsoon.net. Konami gives update on key projects, but it won't be at E3 2021. So, due to timing, this comes from Konami, we will not be ready to present at E3 this year. We want to assure our fans that we are in deep development on a number of key projects, so please stay tuned for some updates in the coming months. Now, this is Konami, so who knows what those projects
are. What do they have that we even want to see at this point?
I have no idea.
Metal Gear Mobile.
Yeah, a sequel to Metal Gear Survive that everybody asked for.
Well, I guess they got Silent Hill and Bomberman, and Dance Dance Revolution is out. Castlevania, maybe that got that. Yu-Gi-Oh, maybe.
Do they have? Oh, Yu-Gi-Oh! You speaking my language now, boys.
But yeah, they do make wow. Yu-Gi-Oh mobile games and console games in the vein of the show. So I mean,
does Konami have the rights to Zone of the Enders?
I'm not sure about that.
Kojima.
I know the Zone of the Enders have had a tremendous hold up for decades now from a very dedicated community, and I know that
they're called classic. Yeah,
I know the publisher's like, no,
okay,
whoever owns it, they're like,
no. Stop asking us.
Yeah, it's like one of stop asking us situations.
But in more E3 news, we just want it to be known that games from Square Enix, Sega, Gearbox, and more have been confirmed for E3.
So those companies will be in attendance.
Yes.
That's good.
Number 4. This comes from Pure Xbox. Wait, did Sony just trademark the Sunset Overdrive IP? Looks like it has. So Sony has been spotted seemingly registering the trademark for Sunset Overdrive. Back in February, Drew Morey left Xbox Studio, the initiative collective that they were putting together, and returned
The initiative is working on Perfect Dark.
Yeah. And returned to Insomniac Games. Previously, Morey worked on Sunset Overdrive when he was at the studio, so his return can signal something being in the works. And this is a big old surprise.
I'd be interested to play it.
Yeah, I didn't. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think Jordan was the only one of us that played Sunset Overdrive.
I loved it. I played it. I played it many times.
Heard good things.
I know it's running at 60 FPS now, so I might check it out again. But yes, Sunset Overdrive, I'm disappointed that Microsoft neglected it and let it fall through their hands. But I think I'm glad that Microsoft wasn't petty in keeping the publishing rights.
Yeah.
Because like IO left, I forgot what major publisher IO left, but they were able to take Hitman with them.
Yeah.
So
Square, they were with Square.
Yeah. So like, and Insomniac was able, like they were able to allow for Insomniac to retain the publishing rights. But I don't know if they'll be able to republish Sunset Overdrive on PlayStation though. That might still have some legal caveats associated.
They may be able to work something out with Microsoft where, you know,
yeah,
they'll have an enhanced version on this one and a remaster, you know, some type of something.
Mm. One of the things I learned in the book, Press Reset, is that oftentimes these publishers, when they make these type of deals, they're thinking of like Sony as a whole and Microsoft as a whole. Like, for example, in order for the Disney to create Epic Mickey, they had to have the rights of one of the earlier Walt Disney characters who was actually owned by Universal. And so in order for that to happen, they made an arrangement so that when one of their sport broadcasters wanted to leave ABC for NBC, they made that work in exchange for this cartoon character that Universal had. So
shut the fuck up. I mean, somebody's job was worth a cartoon character.
Yeah.
They traded them like baseball cards.
Yeah. Yes. That is, yes.
When you think about it, yeah.
I'll trade you a Steamboat Willie for Marcus Ellison.
I think Skip Bayless went from,
yep,
from ESPN, which is Disney, to Fox.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, like those types of things do happen.
Al Michaels.
Okay.
Al Michaels, he was the guy who made the quote, you know, do you believe in miracles, during the United States hockey team victory in 1980. So in order for him to go to join John Madden for NBC Sunday Night Football, they traded him for one of the things that they got in exchange for this trade was Oswald the Lucky Rabbit from that was owned by Universal.
Hey, wasn't he racist? No, I'm joking.
Oh, yeah. Oswald was a big old racist.
Did they trade him for a turducken? A turkey?
Shut the fuck up.
I'm not sure that was part of the deal, but that's what I mean. So in terms of how these publishers may come up with these deals, you know, it may be something that Sony and Microsoft maybe negotiate something other than video game, but this is one of the things that they put in as part of the deal. You never know.
I got traded for a rat. Anyway.
Okay. Number five. This comes from IGN. PlayStation is working on 25 PS5 games, wow, and half are new franchises.
Yep.
So, as reported by Wired, Hulse says PlayStation Studios, which is comprised of development studios like Hulse's old stomping grounds, Guerrilla Games, Naughty Dog, Insomniac Games, and more, has more than 25 titles in development for the PS5. So, as stated, half of those are going to be continuations of established franchises. Think your God of War, Horizon, Spider-Man, and half are new IPs. So that is promising and very exciting.
If they're like Returnal, I'm excited.
Mm-hmm.
There was going to be an adjacent story, but there was a story that Microsoft was at 30 projected games based on their Bethesda partnership. So we're going to have a lot. This is going to be an amazing generation, I think, in terms of content.
And something was bubbling around this time because Naughty Dog just celebrated the 50th anniversary of their release of Uncharted 4, their last Uncharted game. And they, a part that they announced there was going to be another partnership with Prime 1 Studio. They never told us what it means. So maybe this is one of those titles that's in the works, maybe it's original, maybe some continuation with the Uncharted series.
Maybe it's Ridge Racer.
Could be anything. Yeah, we don't know. All we got is a tweet, ladies and gentlemen.
I mean, given that old boy that left Naughty Dog came back, I think the director of Lost Legacy came back, it's entirely possible that Uncharted is in the books as well. But number six, this comes from The Verge. Epic confirmed Sony Epic offered Sony $200 million for PlayStation PC games.
Mm-hmm.
What y'all got to say about that?
I mean, this is one of those documents. We'll delve a little bit further into it. This is one of those documents that was released as part of the discovery in Epic versus Apple. And it all relates to really showing, you know what? Epic is another player in this game, in the game industry. They're trying to, you know, diversify their assets, trying to expand their reach. I think it would have been interesting. I just wonder why it didn't happen.
That's too low of a money. That's too low of an offer. They paid close to 300 or something for Borderlands, didn't they?
Mm.
Yeah, to come out on Epic Store, on PC, the PC formatted version on Epic Store, exclusive to the Epic Store. Yeah,
and they offered
for a time basis.
They offered Sony $200 million for a couple games, not just one game. So they probably felt like that was
too low. A low ball offer.
Sony already has their titles on Steam, though. Like that's where you can get Horizon Zero. Like Steam has both Sony and Microsoft's titles. Which I find,
but Epic wants to compete with Steam.
Yeah, right. They wanted it on Epic instead of Steam, so Horizon and Days Gone and Death Stranding would have launched on Epic instead of Steam.
But Steam already, like, I think the reason why Steam was so enticing because it still has the broad reach. Like that's probably their goal, is reach, not necessarily
money,
a lump sum at the beginning.
But this goes to the argument of control. Remember, Epic is trying to say Apple is being too controlling with the App Store. And so this could be part of the argument saying, hey, Epic's doing kind of the same thing. They want to have titles on their store that will bind users to their games.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like a legal way of saying pot calling the kettle black.
Well, nah, it's slightly different because you can't have a whole different app store on the iPhone unless you jailbreak it. That's their main thing.
No, that would be Epic's argument.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
Apple's argument is, you're trying to be like us. Epic will say, nah, not quite.
But
we'll get at that in a second.
Yeah, that is something that we'll get into in a little bit in our heavy hitter.
Mm-hmm.
But number 7, this comes from Eurogamer. Battlefield 6 is being designed for PS5 and Xbox Series X, but will also run on last gen, which basically just gives more validation to the point that we had that we're not going to get like a true blue next generation year until like next year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of these games are still cross-generational, unfortunately. I mean, unfortunately.
The pandemic too, though. I mean, not many people even had their hands on these consoles. So
right.
Blame the scalpers.
Yeah.
It's a byproduct of it.
Can I also blame Canada while I'm at it?
Yeah, fuck
it. Go right ahead. You know, we don't know how many listeners we have from Canada, so fuck them.
We're joking, Canada. Please subscribe.
the only region that's off limits is the UK.
Blimey.
Number 8, this comes from VGC. Bethesda's sci-fi RPG Starfield will be exclusive to Xbox and PC and thus won't release for PlayStation 5, it's been claimed.
Can we at least see what the fuck Starfield is about before I get excited or disappointed?
Because
right now, I don't give a shit.
Yeah, no, that's totally fine. I mean, like, it's been in development for, like, what, 5 years now? And only thing we have is a 5-second trailer.
I really hope this ain't the new Cyberpunk.
I know. Well, there's so many games that are made on that same timeline. Like, Cyberpunk was made way more than 5 years.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think this was a point in which codify the nature of Bethesda's acquisition. Like, Phil Spencer was very specific in saying that places where Game Pass is available, you'll be able to access these applications when you put them on Game Pass. So it's going to be Skyrim in space or Fallout in space, and both Fallout and Skyrim, except for Fallout 76, are celebrated franchises. Hopefully it's a more grounded version of The Outer Worlds, in my opinion. That's what I'm looking forward to.
Well, we gonna see, and any impressions we get will likely be from Jordan. Number 9, this comes from Polygon. Switch, Xbox, and PS4 all outsold PS5 in the UK last month. Which, you know,
I would assume
given
so.
exactly. Given the scalper situation and how hard it is to get your hands on a PS5, even at this point, that's not surprising.
No, it just shows that the supply constraints are just, you know, terrible right now. Like the corresponding story is Sony having to redesign their console.
Right, mm-hmm. exactly, which we touched on, I think, the week before last. So, mm-hmm. yeah, I mean, Sony down bad out here, but I guess hopefully they can pick it back up.
Yep.
And number 10, this comes from GameBite. Ubisoft is shifting focus to, quote-unquote, high-end free-to-play games.
No, mm-hmm. it's quote, high-end, end quote, free-to-play, end quote. You put high end in quotes. It's a quote within quotes. Like high end.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, then.
So this statement comes from Ubisoft's chief financial advisor or chief financial officer, Frederick
Douglass.
Frederick
Douglass. That would be interesting, though. Frederick Douglass out here producing games instead of abolishing slavery.
You know, he was you know, chronogenically frozen, I guess, for a couple centuries or a century and a half, and you know, yeah,
and sorry. decided to work for the man,
the French man.
So, in line with the evolution of our high quality lineup, huh, that is increasingly diverse, huh, we are moving on from our prior commitment regarding releasing 3 to 4 premium AAAs a year. It is instead no longer a proper indication of our value creation dynamics. For example, our expectation for Just Dance and Riders Republic are consistent with some of the industry's AAA performers. I don't even know what to say about that.
I mean, like, they're trying to get to the free-to-play money, man. Like, these AAA games are not sustainable, and they slowly started incorporating microtransactions into their AAA titles, which mm-hmm. kind of affected their quality to gamers in terms of the benefit from paying $60, still having to pay more for a more robust experience. So they're like, fuck it. Free-to-play, high quality, most likely Division being the first one.
I'm just mad this man had the nerve to put Just Dance and Riders Republic in the same sentence with AAA performers.
What are you talking about? Just Dance is taking over the world. Hey,
they've used the term, they defined it, and
yeah.
All right, well, good luck to you, well, like, Ubisoft, I guess.
Is Just Dance even possible in the Series X and the PS5? They don't have webcam peripherals?
I don't think so. Yeah, I don't think...
That guy is on some shit.
That nigga's smoking sherm. Frederick Douglass. But that is it for the quick hits, and moving on to our heavy hitters. Take it away, Douglass.
Alrighty. So one thing I want to talk about is this epic battle between Epic, who's got teammates from Microsoft, Sony, and Nintendo in their battle against Apple. So all this began in August of 2020 when Epic released an update to Fortnite, which will allow users to be able to buy V-Bucks directly from the app into Epic's hands instead of buying V-Bucks through the Apple Store or the App Store. When Apple found out about this, they shut down Fortnite from the App Store as well as all of its own platforms. And so Epic sued Apple, saying, hey, we think, you know, us having to have all of our purchases going through the App Store is really a form of monopoly. You know, it's an unfair competition, especially when Apple gets a 30% cut out of all sales coming from the App Store. Whereas Apple, they counterclaim. They're saying, no. You breach our contract, and you purposely try to do this workaround so that people can spend money directly through you versus trying to, just like any other game, have to buy their purchases through the App Store. And so from this dispute is now coming up this much bigger discussion about what is a game, what is an experience, what mm-hmm. is the marketplace. Because one of the things that Epic has to prove is that, one, there is a market, and that Apple is unfairly constraining that market through use of the App Store. And one of the things that Apple is trying to say is, it's like, look, Epic is just like the rest of us. All right? This is not unfair. This is just how we have to work in this environment, because there's very few competitors here. And we're in this still evolving amorphous thing called the video game marketplace. Some of it digital, some of it physical. I mean, it's interesting how a lot of console makers are supporting Epic because they're thinking, hey, you know what? If we can broaden out how we have games available to people, that means that the Apple will have to possibly host a whole bunch of other games out there and not charge 30%. You know, that's one way to look at it. But then Apple's like, nah. The iPhone is actually kind of sort of like a console. Like you have, you lock yourself in this one environment that you're part of, and this, and that you have to make your purchase through this environment. Yeah, there's such thing as crossplay, but really, once you're with a PlayStation, once you're with an Xbox, you're within that team. That is how we operate. It's not unfair if everybody does it.
You get jumped into a gang and you stick with it.
Exactly. Well,
so are they going to try to make the same point for Android phone? Or is it because Android is available on so many different other phones?
So, from what I've heard so far, and just to let you guys know, this is going to be a 3-week simple trial, which is highly unusual. I've done trials before. I would tell you, I think that my longest trial is 2.5 hours, and that was draining. So, let alone do this for 3 weeks straight in a federal court.
Sounds like hell.
It is. It's a whole lot of money.
Android doesn't stop you from installing a whole other marketplace to get your apps, as well as you can do what they call sideloading. They would rather you not, but there is no such thing with iPhones unless you just try to jailbreak it. And then that voids your warranty, usually.
And so what Apple would say, look, if you want to buy, if you want to play Fortnite, you can play on an Android, you can play on the consoles, you can play on a PC, you can even do it separately than a Mac. You don't need to play Fortnite on an iPhone. And Epic is saying, nah. See, I want to be able to have Fortnite on your iPhone. And if people want to spend the money directly to me to buy V-Bucks, they should be able to do that. You know, we should be able to have the option. More options, the better. Us saying that in order to reach for the iPhone, you have to go through the App Store. And because the iPhone is near ubiquitous. They're like, we're not playing the same game anymore. This is not like just any type of marketplace.
They have damn near half the market.
Correct. And
bullshit.
And part of that process is discovery. In most civil cases, you have discovery, pre-trial discovery. And that is why, because of this, you know, discovery is a way in which one side can order the other side to produce documents, records, witnesses, produce the information to help build their case, and vice versa. So that is why we're getting all this document, all these emails and communications and presentations, offers, things which we've never had access to before, to understand how do these companies actually operate with one another, compete with one another. It's fascinating. And so, yeah, between now and I think May 24th, we're going to have more of these type of, I mean, it's not even leaks. It's now a public record.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So the big question, I guess, to say for you guys, do you have any expectations of what you want to learn from this case? Is there anything that you're dying to hear about the industry that you think may come out?
I think that gamers should play where they want to play, and these giant billion-dollar companies can go fuck themselves.
Is that one of the cabaret numbers at your club?
That, I mean, like, that's my take, man. It's like, you know, okay, we get it. Apple's the biggest fucking person on the block. We get it. But at the same time, like with the smaller stories, people should be able to play where they want to play. You know? This is a conversation of opportunity costs on both sides. Like Epic, they have their, you know, like, we're not trying to pay Apple on every purchase made through our product, seeing that Apple had no participation in the quality of our product, right? At the same time, you know, Apple's like, nah, I mean, we want some of that juice too. You know, like, they know how popular Fortnite is, so.
Hey, everybody else got to pay 30%. Why do you get a discount?
I want Epic to demand that the court show or request why Apple is hiding all their profits offshore. What are you doing with our 30%? Because you're not paying no fucking taxes over here. You're not supporting the American people, so.
They might end up stitching on themselves, though. That's the thing.
Well, actually, I mean, that kind of sort of came up earlier, because when they were comparing how games are hosted in different platforms, they're like, actually, it's through way of Sony. Mm-hmm. Because remember, all these other companies like Sony, Microsoft, they're joining on Epic's side. So one of the things that Apple brought up is like, look, let's look at Sony, for example. You can
Sony
buy the
strays.
Same game. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, you go to Sony and buy a game that you can buy in a brick and mortar store for 30% cheaper. Like, Apple is saying these companies are being hypocritical.
You can't do that with an iPhone, though. You can't go buy a physical piece of software and install it on your shit.
But here's the thing. You don't need an iPhone. You buy an iPhone. You volunteer yourself into this environment. And some people purposely buy the iPhone because it's so closed.
Well, people owned iPhones before Fortnite was a thing, right? I
mean, yeah. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people don't want to leave iPhone because they're kind of locked into that ecosystem.
Hive mind.
Mm-hmm.
You already spent money there, so you have this sunk cost fallacy, and you don't want to leave.
Yeah.
Honestly, like, I don't have a dog in this fight because it's just two giant companies swinging their dicks at each other. And also, I mean, I still haven't forgiven Epic for, you know, all that shady behavior with all the black dances. So,
I mean. But they're now hiring, you know, black entertainers to do concerts and whatnot.
Better? Travis Scott is totally a part of the yes. The $15 million Travis Scott got for that dumbass thing totally went back to Black Lives Matter.
That thing was fire though.
It was fire. I'll give it that. It was fire. I was like, oh shit,
like that concert was amazing. But yeah, like I'm Team Jordan in this. Fuck them both.
Well, one thing. Unfortunately, I did not have a chance to do it this last week, but I want to try this upcoming week. You can call in
live.
And listen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't be live, baby. Yeah.
We should call in. We should open up our Discord and call them right now and say, hey, make sure y'all ain't fucking up over there.
It's not like you can't call up, yell objection from the pews, from the peanut gallery.
Objection. I rest my case.
That's not how that work.
No more questions. This wasn't questions.
Sustained.
I think, I mean, if I recall correctly, I believe they are still, Epic is still putting on its case. So I don't think we've gotten to hear Apple's side of the case yet. Mm-hmm. At least I believe Epic's still throwing their case in chief. There's no jury.
We call to the stand Steve Jobs.
And someone like Weekends at Bernie's with his corpse. Just
oh, Lord.
Steve Jobs.
No, he got reanimated by pain.
hologram. I think Tim Cook maybe may testify at some point.
That'd be weird. Why?
Pretty sure his name is Tim Apple.
Why would he testify? That's not even. I mean, he could, I guess. But
I mean, anybody has their strategy. I mean, usually people would put on their client on the stand to talk about what it is they're trying to get or what harm they're going to be suffering. Because like I said, both parties have a claim. You know, Epic is saying Apple is violating our antitrust laws and unfair competition. And Apple has a counter saying, hey, you breached our contract. So the way that court operates is that you have witnesses. The lawyer has to use witnesses to tell the story of their case or to provide the facts to build your argument. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that is why right now, for Epic's case, they have a lot of their senior executives, some expert witnesses, developers. They're all testifying to what do they provide? What is Fortnite? What are V-Bucks? Why are they important? Why did they create this other system within their app to essentially compete with the App Store? What is the harm of having people rely on the App Store as a sole means of transactions for a game, Fortnite, which is near everywhere else? Like, why can't a person buy V-Bucks on their computer and have those V-Bucks be available on the mobile game?
They are, but it's just easier to do it while you're there.
Mm-hmm.
So that is why you might have I can't say for sure he's going to be there. I'm just profiting out that you got to have your witnesses to tell your story, especially to talk about what damages you're suffering from. So we're going to see more pop up about not just how Epic closes its case, because once it closes its case, that'll be the first opportunity for Apple to try to shut down the trial. And we'll see what their arguments will be, and if that will happen, that'll be a motion for judgment. But I doubt the court will grant that. I think the court's going to have Apple present their case in chief as well.
Yeah.
So it's probably going to last all through the 24th. And then it'll probably be at least some... I highly doubt we'll get a decision at the end of this. I think the judge is going to do a written opinion at the end. And that will be, you know, something. But as always, there's always appeal. So this may continue on.
Well, very well. We'll see.
Yeah, be on the lookout for the updates on this case in the coming weeks. But for now, we're just going to see what happens. But this has been another episode of Press X to Start Podcast. We hope you enjoyed this episode as much as we enjoyed making it. Don't forget to rate and review us on your favorite podcasting apps because every little bit helps. Also remember to like, share, and subscribe on our YouTube channel. If you miss any of the details, you can find us and more. You can find this and more on our website at pressxnumber2start.com. Until next time, peace. Uno out.
To the left.